Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome to News and Views. I'm your host, Rob Schofield. Well, another political year is in full swing, and this week on what's come to be referred to as Super Tuesday, Americans will go to the polls in 16 different presidential primaries, including here in North Carolina, to help select the Democratic nominee who will challenge President Donald Trump in the fall. And, of course, the presidency is far from the only race on the ballot. North Carolina voters will also be selecting nominees in both major political parties for a U.S. Senate seat, governor, a raft of Council of State offices, the state's entire congressional delegation, and state legislature, and many other offices. Earlier this week, I got a chance to sit down and try to get a handle on what to expect come Tuesday with one of the nation's top pollsters, Tom Jensen of Raleigh-based Public Policy Polling. Well, Tom Jensen, welcome back to News and Views. Good to have you back with us.
Good to be with you.
North Carolinians will be voting this week on Super Tuesday. A lot of North Carolinians have already voted in the primary, where most of the attention is focusing on the Democratic presidential primary. And y'all did a poll this past week and had some interesting findings.
Yeah, we really find that it looks like about a close three-way race in North Carolina. We have Joe Biden at 23, Bernie Sanders at 20, and Michael Bloomberg at 17, all within 6 points of each other, which definitely, given the volatility of presidential primaries where things can change fast and also just the simple margin of error on polls, I think there's a pretty good chance that either of the three of them could win. And they've all had sort of interesting different trajectories. Back in October, Joe Biden was at about 40% and Michael Bloomberg wasn't even in the race. So they were combining for 40 to 0. And they've continued to combine for 40 over the last 2 months. But that has consisted of Biden going down, 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 Bloomberg going up, up, up. So in January, all of a sudden, Biden had 31, Bloomberg had 8. Then the next poll he did, Biden had 25, Bloomberg had 14. Then the next poll he did, Biden had 19, Bloomberg had 18. Every poll, Biden went down, Bloomberg went up. What's interesting about this most recent poll is that trend finally shifted. Joe Biden gained 4 points from our last poll. Michael Bloomberg lost a point from our last poll. So that's a change from what we've been seeing. What has been very consistent over the course of the whole race is Bernie Sanders' support. He's generally in that 15 to 20% range. And in October, it looked like being in that 15 to 20% range meant he was going to lose the state in a blowout. Now being in that same range gives him a very legitimate chance to win the state. Kind of ironic. Bloomberg sort of got into the race, I think, to try to stop Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren from being the nominee. At least in North Carolina, he's actually ended up significantly increasing Bernie Sanders' chances of being able to win the state.
Are those three candidates? It seems that they've kind of risen to the top nationally as well. Elizabeth Warren's had perhaps some bump from her recent debate performances, but can you really envision a scenario where anyone other than one of those three is the Democratic nominee?
It's becoming increasingly difficult, and North Carolina actually speaks to the problem for a Warren or a Buttigieg or a Klobuchar getting into the picture to really win the nomination, and that's because none of them have very much support with African-American voters. For instance, on this poll, it was really a pretty close race, five ways with white voters. Sanders, Biden, Bloomberg, Buttigieg, and Warren were all pretty close to each other, but then because Buttigieg and Warren have such poor support with African-Americans, it really reduces where they are overall. So I think to some extent for those candidates, the best states for them have already passed because they do so much better with white voters than they do with non-white voters. Certainly would never say it's impossible to have a big shift because there still haven't been that many states that have voted. Started. There's a lot of delegates out there, but it's been a long time since any of those candidates were able to show serious momentum.
So you were actually the headline speaker at an NC Policy Watch Crucial Conversation event earlier this past week, and folks can check out the video of that actually at ncpolicywatch.com. It was a really interesting event. And at that event, I was struck by one of the overriding comments you made about the presidential election in 2020, and that's that in all likelihood, it's going to be a pretty close election, and Donald Trump has a lot of unpopularity, and it really comes down to whether the Democrats unite around whoever is selected, and if they do, they have a very good chance of winning the election.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance that Arizona is going to be the state that ends up determining who wins the Electoral College. It's really one of seven swing states, along with Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Florida, Georgia, and North Carolina. I do think North Carolina will be a serious battleground this fall. But we did a poll in Arizona recently that I thought was pretty telling. We found that Donald Trump's approval rating there was underwater. Only 46% of voters approved of him. 52% would disapprove. You would assume with those kinds of numbers that he would lose the state. But we found that Joe Biden was tied with him and Bernie Sanders was down by 1 point. And when we looked at who the undecideds were in those two matchups, over 80% of them disapproved of Donald Trump. And what it was Biden voters in the primary saying they wouldn't vote for Sanders in the general, or Sanders voters in the primary saying they wouldn't vote for Biden in the general. They weren't saying they'd vote for Trump. They were just saying that they were undecided. If those voters actually voted for president, no matter who the nominee is, based on whether they approve of Trump or not, Sanders and Biden would both be winning in Arizona by 4. So you not just would have an advantage for the Democrats in the state that's going to determine the election, but really getting close to an advantage that's outside the margin of error. So that really is, I think, what this election's going to come down to. There are not enough voters who like Trump for him to get reelected by voters who like him. The only way he gets reelected is if voters who are against Trump refuse to get on the same page in the general election and unify around the eventual Democratic nominee. What we saw on that Arizona poll was that even with this disunity, it was still a toss-up. But if Democrats got on the same page, along with progressive-leaning independents and even Republicans who want to see Trump out of the office, Arizona would lean Democratic. So I think that's the big question. I don't think Trump's unpopularity is going to change. It's just a question of whether people can come together against him or not.
Obviously, there are a lot of other races that you've pulled on here in North Carolina beside the presidency, and we probably could spend days discussing all of them, but there's a few high-profile races. Obviously, we've got the U.S. Senate race for Tom Tillis' seat. We've got the governor, the Council of State. Anything in particular standing out to you there? Looks like we pretty much know who's going to be running against Tillis in the Senate race.
Yeah, it looks like Cal Cunningham is going to win the primary for Senate over Erica Smith pretty comfortably. We find him up right now by 27 points, 45-18. And that Senate race between Tillis and Cunningham in the general will be one of the most competitive Senate races in the country. Tillis has been unpopular since the day he got elected. He's never really seen his approval rating get out of the 30s. Sometimes it's even been down in the 20s. So we've pretty consistently found when we test Cunningham and Tillis against each other that Cunningham has a 1 or 2 point lead, and it's going to be one of the most important Senate races in the country. Basically, I see sort of off the top of my head, I think Democrats are going to lose the Senate race they hold in Alabama. I think they're going to win Senate races they hold in Colorado and Arizona. So that would put Republicans at a 52-48 majority, and then Democrats would have to win 2 more seats. I think the clearest path to a 50-50 Senate, which would be a Democratic Senate if there's a Democratic president, is to win North Carolina and Maine. Those states would get it to 50-50. So not only does North Carolina have the potential to play a huge role in the Electoral College, but it also could very well determine whether there's a Democratic Senate or not.
Amazing. It's going to be very close, a very dramatic year. Here in North Carolina, we obviously have a whole raft of other important races, from governor, Council of State races, the whole legislature's up, our whole congressional delegation. Any other races there that really stand out to you?
Well, I think that Governor Cooper continues to be favored for re-election, but I think if the election was today, he'd only win by 4 or 5 points. And he actually is a pretty popular governor, but it just speaks to the polarization in the state. We don't have that many people who are willing to vote Democratic for some offices and vote Republican for other offices the way that we used to see the state totally split in previous decades, where you could see in the same election, for instance, Mike Easley in 2004 got re-elected by double digits at the same time that George W. Bush was winning the state by double digits again. You're not going to see very many races deviate more than about 2 to 4 points from however the presidential race votes. I think Democrats do have the best chance they've had in a decade to maybe get control of either the state house or Senate. Especially in the Senate, the new maps almost definitely mean Democrats pick up a couple seats from where they are right now. To get a majority, they're going to have to be able to win some districts that Trump won by 8 or 9 points. And Democrats did, across the country, win some places like that in 2018. It's just a question of whether they can win enough of them to be able to flip a chamber. But you can actually see the path for Democrats this year, where for most of the last decade, it was impossible to see that path.
And then we've got 10 Council of State races. We've got Lieutenant Governor, Insurance Commissioner, Superintendent of Public Instruction. There's a lot of people running. Probably some runoffs going to happen there.
Yeah, pretty good chance that we're going to see a runoff for lieutenant governor on the Democratic side, maybe the Republican side too. And all those council of state races, I think there's two people who might be able to win by more than 5 points in the general election. That's Elaine Marshall, possibly on the Democratic side, has shown an ability to outrun the ticket. Steve Troxler on the Republican side for agriculture has shown, the commissioner has shown the ability to outrun the ticket. I think every other council of state race is going to be decided by 5 points or less. And I really wouldn't be surprised if they were all decided by 2 points or less. What we basically saw in 2016 was that when you looked at everything in the state, Republicans won 51-49. 2018, when you looked at everything in the state, Democrats won across the board 51-49. We think of 2016 as having been a great Republican year. We think of 2018 as having been a great Democratic year. The difference between a great year for one party or the other is just which one wins 51-49.
It's going to be an amazing year. Well, we hope it'll be a great year for your polling that you'll be doing. We're all watching it very closely. Public Policy Polling is where Tom holds forth. You should definitely check out his Twitter feed. You should check out their website, publicpolicypolling.com. They do amazing predictions. Tom has a great record of calling these things well ahead of time, so you're going to learn a lot about North Carolina and American politics if you check them out. Tom, thanks so much. We'll talk again perhaps this spring and see how it's going.
Thanks, Rob.
Coming up next, part one of a special two-part conversation with Dr. Lauren Fox of the Public School Forum of North Carolina. Stay with us.